BlakeRadio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nipples are now chilling for shit.
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and our friends at UltimateSportsTalk.com. The numbers, as always, is 267-297-1397. If you are part of Skype and don't have to deal with technical support like Sir Rockin did the other day, you can type in Sir Rockin, which is two words, and you'll be on our call with us. Tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern, our second guest, who is one half of the undefeated WSU Tag Team Champions, how to get that right or she may kick my ass. She recently went 73 minutes with the best in the world, Mercedes Martinez, and is going to be taking on Mickey James this Saturday at an event that we're going to talk about in a moment. Lexus will join us then. Right now, because the event I mentioned that Lexus is a part of is the promotion that's based in the Northeast. Wrestling is what they're called. They have two events this weekend. One is this Friday at Crosby High School. It's in Waterbury, Connecticut. We'll give all the particulars on that location. The other one is back at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center this Saturday in Poughkeepsie for Autumn Ambush. This gentleman that's on our call right now is going to be defending the Northeast Wrestling Heavyweight Championship at both events. Matt Taven is with us. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Oh, thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
This promotion, we had Michael on last year around this time, and he was real gracious with his time and talked about what an amazing promotion this is. How did you first come to be a part of Northeast Wrestling? Was it something you had seen and sent the tape into, or how did you come to be a part of it?
Well, actually, kind of a stroke of luck. I had known of Michael and Northeast Wrestling, and I was working for, and still do, actually I'm at the training facility right now, if you hear the rain bumping in the background, of Top Rope Promotions, which is out of Massachusetts. And Top Rope goes down and does the ring rental for Northeast Wrestling, and he had a cancellation and needed a guy to throw in for a gauntlet against Big Daddy V, and I just happened to have my gear and got lucky, and he threw me in there, and obviously I impressed him because he brought me back, so... Yeah, that was December 98, 2008.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was a little bit ago.
Yeah, according to your Facebook page, which I'm checking out right now, you've been in the business for 3 years and have an interesting pedigree of who trained you. But before we get to that, what led you to decide, wake up one day like everyone else seems to do and goes, you know what, I don't want to work at Walmart, I don't want to work at Lehman Brothers, I don't beat the crap out of people for a living. What led to that and the creation of Matt Taven?
That's a good story. Well, basically, I liked wrestling as a young child. I used to watch it all the time, and my parents never liked it, but I would always drag them to bring me to the Boston Garden and, you know, go see live events, and it was something that I always liked, obviously, going through middle school and high school during the Attitude Era and stuff like that. It was big news, so something I always followed and kept track with, but I went to school after college and kind of didn't think about it as much, and after college, I actually was hired by the New England Patriots, working in their front office. I was part of their marketing department, and I just happened to have a friend from high school that was wrestling, and he had a ring and told me to come down and just, you know, try it out, because he knew I'd liked wrestling back in the day. He was like, just, you know, come and have fun or whatever, and instantly when I got in, it was like second nature. It was like, this is what I have to do. And so I started wrestling, and as that took off, I remember calling my dad one day and being like, I'm going to quit the Patriots and just wrestle as much as I can. And he's like, you're only young once, go do it. So that's how I got started.
Do you have a Super Bowl ring for working for them?
Do you know what? It's a very sensitive subject to me, and the fact that you brought it up is kind of crazy, but if we would have won against the Giants the undefeated season, I would be in possession of a Super Bowl ring.
Yes, my mother is a big-time Giants fan, so she thanks you very much for that season.
Yeah, tell your mom that, no, I appreciate me not being out of tens of thousands of dollars worth of jewels on my ring so that she could enjoy the Giants winning. It was quite the day when that happened.
Yeah. Did you ever go as a fan to the old place before they put in Gillette Stadium?
Oh, yeah. My dad used to bring me as a kid all the time to old Foxborough Stadium or Schaefer or Sullivan. They had so many different owners and name changes. I can remember it being so bad there that my dad had tickets to preseason games, and I'd just be like, no, I don't want to go. I'm the biggest diehard sports fan ever. And I would just be like, Dad, it gets too cold on one side of the stadium. Like, it's not even a real game. I'm all set. So I remember the old place very well. The new place is beautiful, though.
Yeah, it looks it on TV, and I'm happy. I'm a born-raised Jets fan, so I'm happy now that I have a building that I don't. I was a resident of Giant Stadium. My dad and I had tickets in Section 138, and it was just, you go there, and it's like, okay, cool. My friends would go, why don't you go to games in November, December? I said, I'll give you my ticket, you'll find out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a circular tunnel of wind that you're just going, I can't do this.
I remember the old Foxborough Stadium. It would be like a September day, but if you were on the wrong side where the sunset didn't fall on, it would be like an icebox, and you would just be miserable the whole time. But they've done wonders with it since.
Awesome. Yep. Your resume, as mentioned, you have some interesting trainers. How did you come to be trained by former ECW star Spike Dudley, and what's it like to be trained by Matt Hyson?
awesome. No, but how I got to be trained by him was, like I said, that first day in the ring, I was like, no, I want to do this. I want to pursue it. I started looking up different, training facilities in the area, and I live right outside of Boston currently. And when I started training, and there was two big companies, that, like, if you wanted to be trained right, you definitely should go to. They were Top Rope Promotions and Chaotic Wrestling, which is up in North Andover, the northern end of Massachusetts. But Top Rope A was closer to me, and B was, the school was ran by Spike Dudley, the lockup ran by Spike. So I came down here, and it blew me away the first, because obviously I didn't know what to expect when it came to Spike. I'd seen him on TV for years, and I just didn't know if it was going to be, you know, craziness or what the training seminar was going to be. But he literally was still to this day one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen in the ring. Just moved so fluently, and just, God, I can't even describe it. I remember being in awe the first time, and I trained with him for a good year after that.
Now, what's a typical day of training like? Is it the old, what you hear from everyone else, lots of working out before you even get in the ring? Or you, as soon as you walk in the door, he's like, all right, get in there and kick the crap out of each other and then we'll learn some stuff.
Well, like, especially with Spike, like, he would obviously get us in there in the first place and kind of go through things, but he was a big person of film study and you know, taping our own stuff and going over it, but watching other people's. I mean, Spike was great when just pointing out, like, wasted movement in the ring. I mean, he loves, and still to this day, like, always been training, always talks about The Undertaker, but if you watch one of his matches, there's not 1 second that's wasted that he's not telling the story. And, I mean, that really opened my eyes for me when someone with that kind of knowledge, as Matt has, sitting there kind of pointing it out on film, you know, right before your very eyes, you almost can't miss it at that point. You know, something as a fan, you would look right past, but as someone who's learning the art, like, it just changes your whole world around and makes you look at it a whole different perspective.
Matt Taven, the EW Heavyweight Champion, joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and Online World of Wrestling. You can go to northeastwrestling.com. That's all one word. And you can see the two events that we're going to talk about in a few moments here. How long after training began did the persona you have now of Matt Taven exist? And was it through the training that you came up with, the merchandise look you have? Because I went and checked it out, and I'm looking at this thing going, hey, look at that. That's a cool shirt.
Thank you. To be honest, like, I don't know. It was something that Spike always said to me, like, don't worry about, you know, presenting your indie character or whatever. He's like, because, you know, when you get to where you're looking to go, that most of that stuff's not going to matter. So the Matt Taven persona itself is basically just me. I came up with that logo in the middle of the night one night, just kind of watching TV and saw that logo and was like, all those letters are in my name. I could do something with that. And just everything else, from the headbands to the sunglasses to, you know, just the outlandish stuff that I do, people that know me know that's just kind of me having a good time and just being myself. And I think for me, the easiest thing ever when it came to, you know, engaging an audience was being myself. As much as if I believed in it, then the fans would believe in it. And you see people try to force it and just, you know, it's not natural for them to act the way they're acting. Which is why I just went with, you know, this is me, and this is kind of how I normally act, and this is the stuff I normally like, so hopefully this works.
Most people, when they pick music, I bring up music because your entrance music we used to open the show is the band called The Used. Some folks say when they build a character, sometimes they'll build it around that. Was that the case here, or did you have other music in mind and you just kind of lumped into this song?
Again, that's almost like a reflection of me. I was in different bands in high school and college. I play the piano and do programming for the drums and stuff. And I was into that whole emo or indie or punk scene. And like, I just liked a bunch of the bands like The Used and similar bands like that. And when it came to time to choose my music, I remember just going through songs on my iPod and listening to the opening, because most people don't remember past, you know, the first couple of 30 seconds or so. But I just remember listening to the openings of all these different songs, and that one popped out as like, wow, this is something people can get behind, because they had like a big burst, and I just could picture myself coming out to it. And again, like with the whole Matt Taven thing itself, it's just kind of, you know, I would listen to that song on a normal basis. So I just felt like, hey, that's it. So that's me.
When you go to his Facebook page, Vange, you can find booking information, an email address for merchandise, and his Twitter, which is at Matt Taven. You'll see a litany of promotions. Was Ohio Valley Wrestling a audition of some kind, or have you been there on a regular basis? Some of the fans in the have been wanting to know.
Well, I went down there to Louisville for a week as part of when I was working for Ring of Honor on and off, as part of when they went down there. And then OVW had a couple shows, And Jim Cornette is, I can't say enough good things about him. I mean, he's done a lot for me in this business and is just an overall great guy. But, he obviously liked me and, you know, told me to, I was originally just going to go down there for a couple of days for Ring of Honor and told me to come down and make a trip of it and do a couple of shows for OVW. And just recently I've been talking about going back down there because I loved the OVW experience. Those guys were great. I love the city of Louisville. Louisville's awesome. I'm a Northeast guy. And I went down to Louisville, not sure what to make of it, even though some of my friends that have been there before had talked like it was the place to be. And it really was. It was a blast. So I'm looking forward to making another trip down to OVW. And one of, actually, a girl that trained with me up here, Taylor Hendricks, has just moved down there. And there has been some conversation about moving to the Louisville area for myself, just to work for OVW and continue training under Dinsmore and Mondo. Because, like Spike Dudley, those guys are just, they just amaze me with the stuff they see and the stuff that they can point out to you.
Who do you watch currently or in your past that you have acclimated into the Matt Taven persona that you would want to tell the fans about now? Because there may be some fans that are sitting there going, hey, wait a minute, isn't that so-and-so's move? Do you incorporate other performers from WWE, TNA, ROH that you may watch in film study?
I mean, of course, there can't be one wrestler on the face of the earth that didn't say that, you know, there were other wrestlers that shaped them, and especially a person my age. You know, we grew up with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels just being unbelievable for years, and if I was to say that I didn't, you know, watch their matches over and over again and take bits and pieces from it, I'd be lying. Also, Chris Jericho, I'm a thief when it comes to Chris Jericho. I love all of his stuff and try to take as much as I can, but Jericho, I remember Rob Van Dam, obviously, when I was a ninth grader watching ECW come around to the Northeast, and these little, there's like an ice skating rink. I'm originally from New Hampshire, an ice skating rink up in New Hampshire that they would come up to, and, you know, he would just electrify the crowd and just do amazing things. So obviously that stuck with me. And me being a smaller guy myself, you know, I'm 6'2 and 215-210 pounds, so not the biggest guy in the world, so I do all that acrobatic stuff, so those guys definitely were a major influence in where I am today. I think people that I watch now, recently I've been watching like a lot of the Cody Rhodes stuff. I mean, him, his whole character, I'm just so impressed. I mean, not that I take stuff from it, but if there's anyone that I like have been watching TV and will catch my attention, it's definitely him or Alberto Del Rio's work is unbelievable too. It's just those are the guys that really stick out to me right at the moment.
When you just mentioned your height and weight, you're kind of on that borderline of a cruiserweight and a heavyweight. Do you find promoters that want to put you in X division style matches and you're going, "Nut, dude, heavyweight. Oh, hi, look at this nice belt here."
I mean, to be honest with you, most of the time I don't mind, especially since I do like to wrestle a X division or cruiserweight or whatever you want to call it style. It is kind of funny every once in a while. I don't know how familiar are you with guys like Tommaso Ciampa from ROH, who's a good friend of mine. He was a good friend of mine, and you know we've worked places where obviously, you know, any wrestler that has been around knows that there's a million places that aren't the best promotion these days. But we've gone to places and been bigger than half their roster, and they want us to be their, like, cruiserweight division, and it's just kind of like, it doesn't make sense. But to be honest with you, it doesn't mind, because I know my ultimate goal is to get Vince to sign me, and I know once I'm up with him that I'd be one of the smaller guys. So practice at work and at wrestling at that kind of cruiserweight mentality is fine with me.
Yeah. You have Dragon Gate USA listed on your sheet, and fans of our show know that we're fans of theirs and the Evolve promotion. Describe for someone that may not have seen one of their events, and I'm lucky that I have, through some DVDs. Describe that atmosphere, because it is a way different atmosphere than the ROH experience, or even what fans would see over this weekend in Northeast Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I mean, Dragon Gate, the fan experience is more of an appreciative style, you know, almost like an old Ring of Honor fan styling, where I never found that people got behind one person or another when it came to watching a Dragon Gate or an Evolve match, but they got behind the exhibition itself. It's like if you were watching a football game and you could kind of care less at who won, but you were just watching a really good game and were excited by all the plays and just were interested in the finish of the game by how hard the two teams were competing with one another. I think that's kind of how the fans of Dragon Gate USA and Evolve and even most of the Japan-style promotions are.
Yep. Let's talk Northeast Wrestling, since that's one of the main reasons you are here. You are the standard bearer for this. Before we talk about that, does that say something in your mind to break the fourth wall for a second here? To be told by the promotion, you are going to be our heavyweight champion. Does that put pressure on you, or are you just like, yeah, I own this, let's go. Throw whoever the heck you want at me. I'll take on Tommy Dreamer. I'll take on Jerry Lawler. I'll take on whoever you want to put at me.
I think at every level, and from what I've spoken to, obviously I'm still striving to get to another level that people that I talk to, like the Tommy Dreamers of the world, have gotten to. It sounds like it's very similar stories. Like at first when I won the Northeast Wrestling title, I was shocked. I kind of was just there busting my butt, like just excited to be there, because Northeast is an amazing promotion. I mean for the promotions up in the Northeast to have the best indie talent that there is, like the best, for bang for your buck, these guys are going to put on a match for you, and then also have those top names to come in at the same time. It's like, this is the best of both worlds. And, for the wrestlers in this area, Northeast Wrestling is the prestigious independent organization in this area. So when I first won the title in Poughkeepsie, the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, it was the biggest crowd that I've ever wrestled in front of. And B, I was in a match with a bunch of people that I was either great friends with, the Prodigy Mike Bennett, Brian Anthony, great wrestlers, Brian Anthony, Paul London, and Jason Blade. So for me to, be the one to come out on top and be the title holder, at first was a shock, and then I, got nervous afterwards. So the next couple of shows have been like, I need to prove my salt here, that this is actually my position. But I've held that title for close to 18 months now. So now I'm at the point where I'm like, Tom, like you said, bring it on. Like, I'm ready to show everyone why I have that and show everyone why I am the top guy at Northeast Wrestling and will be for as long as I want to.
For fans that are looking at the Northeast Wrestling website, they're looking at the Brass City Brawl 2, which is in Crosby High School, and they're looking at this page and they're going, wow, Matt Taven's going to wrestle Jerry Lawler. You actually clued me in. Your opponent has changed, and the stakes couldn't be more deadly at this thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to be stepping inside a steel cage.
Yes.
You're
with Brian Anthony, with a guy that actually, for those that are fans of Northeast Wrestling, know that we have a storied past, and for those looking to get into it, a DVD you might want to pick up is, I think the name of the show is Thunderslam or Thunderstrike. It happened in Liberty, New York, and actually I wrestled Brian Anthony for the title, and on a dive to the outside of the ring, Brian Anthony goes to catch me and ends up smashing his head against the guardrail, spends the night in the hospital, has to get 8 stitches across his forehead. So this is a heated rivalry that's been brewing for a while. And when I was first told I wasn't wrestling Jerry Lawler, I was almost relieved, because a little bit nervous, you're stepping in the ring with the king, you never know it's as much as I was coughing, I was a little intimidated, and then I found out I was in a cage. I was like, oh, great. Well, didn't get any easier. But yeah, it should be quite the show when me and Brian step in that cage. And Jerry Lawler will still be there as well. He's actually wrestling a good friend of mine, Luke Robinson, who is the finalist from Tough Enough.
Oh, okay. Yeah, his name was listed on the event. Also at Crosby High School, WWE Hall of Famer Sonny will be there. Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, also a Hall of Famer, will be there. Recently released from WWE, Fit Finlay will be there. Unfortunately, kids, Kevin Nash will not. He's been pulled from this event. Hell in a Cell. I mean, no, he's doing a movie. Exactly. He's doing the movie. Now, as I said, your weekend didn't get any better here because at the event that's going to be in Mid-Hudson Civic Center, and the fans are going, that really sounds familiar. Why? Well, that's where WWF used to shoot their TV back in the day, kids, when they did Superstars and Wrestling Challenge. So this isn't a small little intimate bingo hall. We're talking a good... No, good.
This is a full-blown Civic Center. I mean, they're up there, and with the lights on, you can't even see where the people stop. So it's an intimidating place, but also a very exciting place at the same time. The intimidating part of this weekend is the fact that Tommy Dreamer is close to God at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. I mean, that being a place that the original ECW used to... trumpet, it's one of its go-to areas. He can't walk in there without the place going crazy. So for me to step in the ring with him, I am definitely going to be not the fan favorite in comparison to the reception Tommy will get.
Now, for fans that are also going to come to this event, like I said, it's at Mid-Hudson Civic Center, which is October 1st. This has a triple main event. Not only is Matt Taven defending the heavyweight championship against the Innovator of Violence, you're going to get to see for the last time, and I know he says this all the time, Terry Funk going to be taking on Jerry the King Lawler in a no-holds barred, no DQ, no everything match. Oh, yeah. Watch out for... Go find... on the website, there is a unique interview with both Jerry Lawler and Terry Funk. That was pretty cool to watch. Also on this event, it's Vic Dallas? Dallas? Did I get that right?
Vic Delicious. He just
Vic
spelled
Delicious.
It.
Vic Delicious. Okay.
Vic He's Delicious and Hale on. Collins actually used to be tag team partners, actually both from Poughkeepsie, the town that we're going to be in, that the Mid-Hudson Civic Center is in. Used to be tag team partners, and actually the last time that I was in Poughkeepsie, I beat Hale Collins for the Northeast Wrestling title, and that actually led to their breakup, and the big showdown will finally happen this Saturday in Poughkeepsie, New York.
And who better to settle that issue than another Hall of Famer? You're going to be in the same building as Bret the Hitman Hart. Is this someone that you kind of just go, hi, Bret, yeah, so can you sit for an hour? I want to ask and learn from you.
Honestly, I remember the first show I ever did with Bret, and you know, people obviously know that I'm a huge Bret Hart fan, humongous Bret Hart fan, and I was very, you know, you never know what people are just sick of talking about things, you know, what kind of moods people might be in, so I don't want to go up and step on this guy who has been, you know, an idol of mine. I don't want to go and step up on his toes, so I just went over and introduced myself, and he. You know, it's like, oh, sit down. And literally the most gracious guy you've ever met in your life. I asked him every question. I must have been the most annoying person in the world because I asked him every question in the book, and he sat down and answered all of them. He was awesome. And even to the point where I was, you know, talking about things from his book, and he was like, oh, why didn't you bring the book with you? You know, I would have signed it for you. I would have done all this. And I was like, I didn't even think, you know, I'd get this far. So Bret was great, and still to this day one of those people that I love talking to because he, you know, he's a fan himself, and he has plenty of great advice, obviously, to give to people, and it doesn't mind reminiscing, and obviously doesn't mind letting me be a little, you know, 7-year-old boy asking him every question about back in the day.
That is super cool. Unfortunately, we're out of time with you, which sucks, but I want to let everybody know once again, it is northeastwrestling.com, all one word, no spaces. You can go there. You can find out upcoming events. You can find out about the fundraising that's going on. The Friday night event, I believe, is for the Police Athletic League. Did I see that right on the website?
Yes, for the Waterbury Police Athletic League.
That is
a fundraiser
awesome.
for the Waterbury Police.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, Matt is all over social networking. You can find he has a fan page on Facebook. You can tweet him at Matt Taven, and you can email him at matttaven@gmail.com. He will give you all the merchandising stuff you need. Coming up after the break, we will get into everything that has gone on in the re-debut of Ring of Honor on Sinclair Media. We'll also talk some TNA wrestling as we head to Bound for Glory, all on World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for pink hands.
Duck.
Okay, since he's smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge pink hands, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, Shaniqua's following to, members, and we all start going, go, 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 go!
Alright, hang on a second. Dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LEB Rule, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune into Otaku Talk Live 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columns today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Brett Derry,
Candice LaSalle,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Online Wrestling. Shit, I'm sorry. What is it? It's Online World of Wrestling Radio. All right. This is Jessica Havoc, and you're watching Online World of Wrestling Radio. And if you don't listen, I'm shit. All right, let me try this. This is gonna be it. You guys ready? This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Online World Wrestling. Shit. Okay, I'm just gonna try and slow it down for a second. Okay. This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Online World of Wrestling Radio. And if you don't listen to this, then you're a loser, and I'm going to kick you in the face.
One, two, three, four!
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Thank you to Matt Taven for taking time out of his training. As you heard, he was getting ready for this weekend's events. Spug and Mace have joined us here. Sorry to pull you away from World of Warcraft, Mace, but we need to move forward with the show. We'll talk a little ROH on their reboot of TV and some TNA news and notes. Want to get this in real fast for fans that are performers that listen to us, that are sitting there watching other shows, that listen to other shows and go, you know, you guys never talk about when they do these workout things and stuff. As well, Spug talked about his experience with Tom and Dreamer. For the first time ever, Ring of Honor is going to be holding a special 2-day tryout camp / seminar. This is going to be on Saturday and Sunday, November 12th and 13th at the ROH headquarters in suburban Philly. This camp is going to provide those who attend the rare opportunity to be seen and evaluated by professional wrestlers and the officials of ROH, including Jim Cornette, who will be involved in this setup. Cornette was saying, "Our one-day seminars that we have held in the past have been a huge success. This time you'll get twice as much evaluation with personal time from the officials. We hope to find exceptional talent like great athletes such as Michael Elgin, Michael Bennett, that have been signed through these kind of setups. Delirious will be involved. Charlie Haas, Kevin Kelly is going to be there. So you can expect all areas of wrestling to be covered at the seminar, from in-ring technique to the out-of-ring attitude. You need to be registered for this. Enrollment is actually for the first 35 applicants, so your butt needs to get in gear fast. It is open to any current pro wrestler with at least 1 year's experience. So if Mace wants to fly in, he can. Each attendee, unfortunately, is responsible for their own transportation to and from the ROH Academy and any lodging. There is a $295 registration fee that includes the activities for the day, plus lunch, a video of the campers' tryout match, and critiques from everybody that'll be involved there. So you can email rohhelp@aol.com. Go to Ring of Honor's website. You can find the application form there. It's a spoken mace. It can't be bad to do something like this as an indie worker. If you've got the coins socked away, this can't be a bad thing to do, right?
I would love to go to that. I know I have no shot of being hired by ROH, but I would love to go to that just to get the review and critique.
Yeah, same here, and then spend hours sitting there talking to Jim Cornette, then take him out to Dairy Queen.
So yeah, definitely go to their website and check that out. As mentioned, this past weekend was their reboot on Sinclair Media here in the Tampa Bay market. I had it on at 7 o'clock, and then it was on at 10 o'clock Eastern. And some friends in Nashville, like Trent Van Dries, were all of a sudden going, "Hey, dude, you know that match with Jay Lethal and El Generico they announced? We already saw it." I was like, "Say what now?" Yeah, certain markets in Sinclair had the next week's show air Sunday. So, wow. First surprise of the night was the return of former ROH World Champion Nigel McGuinness, who is going to be taking Dave Prezak's place, at least on TV. I don't know if he's going to do pay-per-views, but Nigel will be sitting with Kevin Kelly. Only two matches on this first program. The first was Future Shock, which is Ryan O'Reilly and David Cole defeated the Bravados, which I believe is Harlem and Lance, if I got their names right. And if I didn't, I apologize to them. The other match on the show was the wrestling's greatest tag team, Haas and Benjamin, defeating the Kings of Wrestling, which was a little awkward because I'm in the Florida Championship Wrestling TV market, and Claudio Castagnoli, as we outlined a couple weeks ago, is now a member of the FCW roster as Antonio Cesari. So it was kind of going like, the mystery's lost here. I know the Kings of Wrestling didn't win the belts here, but no, I guess the average fan didn't. Did either one of you happen to see this program by chance?
I did not.
Okay. You weren't able to find a way to take a peek online.
Damn.
Yeah. The ROH site apparently had issues because people thought on Saturday they could go to ROHWrestling.com and see it, because Kerry Silken, when he was here, had mentioned, yeah, we're going to show the feed on the site. They just forgot to remember, by the way, it's not going to be on there till, I believe, Monday if you're a website member. And then Thursday for everybody else. And as I said, this Saturday he told us when he was here last week, Jay Lethal mentioned it, by the way, I'm the ROH television champion, you'll now find out why. Oh, it was, okay, Monday, you have to pay? How much are they charging, Rock? Do you happen to know? It's got to be some small nominal fee, right? It's not going to be like WWE charging about $7.99, right? That's not bad. Is that a monthly thing?
It's not bad, but really, you pay on if you want to get it on Monday, and Thursday you get it for free anyway?
Well, he's also saying you get discounts for a bunch of stuff, so you may be getting pay-per-view discounts or merchandise discounts. I'm not 100% sure. My main issue with this show was too much talky, not enough wrestling. You had an hour show with two matches. You did get to see a recap of the Best in the World Eye pay-per-view that had seen Davey Richards and our guest also recently, Eddie Edwards, tear the joint down beyond any recognition. So hopefully this will be a good thing. Do either one of you, I know neither one of you watched the program, but does it pique your interest at all to know that Nigel is back with ROH? Because we've heard rumors about his health conditions, and we've reached out to ROH to see if we can get Nigel on the show, and we'll find out in the next couple weeks what the end result of that is. But does it pique your interest at all to have Dave Prezak off TV and now you have Nigel sitting there with Kelly? And I don't mean the girl, I mean Kevin Kelly.
So the other girl?
I guess. Depending on the rumors.
All right, so Nigel is doing what?
He's sitting there.
He's on the commentary.
Yeah, he's the commentary table with Kevin Kelly. I'm guessing, like I said, I'm guessing because I haven't heard anything, but I'm guessing they're saving Prazak now maybe for iPay-per-view, or he may not have been at this TV taping that they did.
Not bad. At least he's around. He's still active in the business in one way or another.
And he's not stuck in Orlando, as a lot of people emailed us saying, going, because we can take down those wanted posters for Nigel. Guess what? We found him. So, unfortunately, nobody claims a reward because none of you emailed us and said, by the way, there's Nigel. So, too bad. Impact Wrestling this past week was another awkward show. You only had, I believe, you were supposed to have a bunch of matches here. You have Mickey James defeat Miss Tessmacher to advance to the Bound for Glory championship match, which right now is Winter versus Velvet Sky versus Mickey James. You had Austin Aries defend his X Division championship, defeating Jesse Sorensen. RVD, unfortunately, got laid out, and I don't mean stoned out. I mean, he was literally laid out in the back. I don't know how, but that left Mr. Anderson alone to take on Bully Ray and Jerry Lynn, and unfortunately, the numbers got to Mr. Anderson. The Fortune Gauntlet that heavyweight champion Kurt Angle has Bobby Roode running hit a little bit of a wall when Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels refused to compete against Bobby Roode. So Kurt Angle ended up having to compete himself against our friend, the Tennessee Cowboy James Storm, in a match that I'm still waiting to figure out what the hell happened. Because The Rock and I are sitting there, and we're going, hey, cool, great, man, wait, what the, huh? It was just a traditional Brusso finish. And it's like, why? Why?
It's because that seems to be the trend. You have a main event, you put in a WTF ending.
And that's then some. I was very happy to see James get this opportunity, be it on TV, pay-per-view, even at a house show. I think Beer Money is a great tag team, but I always had hoped after AMW had split and him and Wildcat went separately, I thought they were going to put James out there. And he could have developed into something. Hey, your Bound for Glory pay-per-view that's going to be in Sir Rockin's neighborhood on October 16th reads still as the following. Some of this came out of their taping in Knoxville, which I believe is, it doesn't show this week. I think it's the week after. I think they had one more show in Orlando that'll air. Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode, barring what happened in Knoxville, Hulk Hogan, oh boy, Walker included, will take on Sting. And I believe the stipulations on this one is Sting wins, Dixie Carter comes back into power, and Hogan and Bischoff exit stage right. And I believe if Hogan wins, Sting exits back to Bible school. Right now, your Knockouts Championship match is, as I said, Winter versus Velvet Sky versus Mickey James. Which right there alone is not that bad a match, Mace. I wouldn't mind just seeing that trio take on each other, but I guess they're going to possibly plug a fourth girl in here.
Yeah, instead of giving us something good, they're going to overbook it and turn it into something crappy. Mind you, funny thing that they put in this nice little caveat to the Sting-Hogan match. Because isn't Hogan and Bischoff's contracts up very, very soon?
I believe you are 100% correct on that. I don't know if it's the end of this month or if it's the end of October, because I've heard different things. One story was it ended this week.
I heard rumors around the traps that Hogan's basically waiting for his contract to expire so he can get the hell out of Dodge.
Well, let's just think for a second here out loud. If, you know, and yes, we'll let you tell your story about your dad and the radio spot he heard. If Hogan and Bischoff, and I know we're going to have this conversation in the next couple weeks as well, if Hogan and Bischoff, and this is the end for them, this unfortunately is a situation that you know, some people say, oh, make sure when you leave a company, you leave it better than you came. These two left dead bodies. I mean, this looked like that AMC show The Walking Dead at one point in this promotion, and fans will know what wrestlers we're talking about. And if this is it...
Don't you go knocking The Walking Dead there, Alan. That was
I'm
good
not.
Show. Even
I'm
better
not.
Comic book.
I lay next to someone in a bed who watches a show on AMC and is very excited it's coming back at the end of October. So she's already going through the DVR going, reduced, I can't lock it in yet.
Yeah, with a reduced budget, crappier story, and it's going to suck.
But if this is it, first off, we've already said we as fans do not want to see Hulk Hogan versus Sting. But apparently in Knoxville... Hogan is claiming, I'm done, brother, I'm retiring, I'm done, I can't wrestle, my back's bad, my this bad, my that bad. Are you fine if Hogan leave but Bischoff stay, or do you both have to go to make this a better product?
Both have to go.
Okay, so Bischoff go, Hogan go. Can we tack Vinnie Rue on the back of that truck that's going out of town? Or are you...
Unfortunately, as much as we would like to stuff him in a bag, throw him in the trunk, and say, hey, guys, don't look in there until you get to the other side of the country, we can't.
It's a scandal. The rest of your Bound for Glory card is X Division champion Austin Aries taking on the Brian Kendrick via a nice beatdown at a tattoo parlor in Orlando, which was very interesting. If you're a fan of Florida wrestling, you'll notice that the girl that was involved in that is Jesse Neal's girlfriend, Christina Von Erie. So we're going to get the World Tag Team Champions, Mexican America, taking on Ink Inc. There is a triple threat match. This would have been where the Monstrous Ball match would have taken place, but these guys are just going to beat the snot out of each other. Crimson versus Matt Morgan versus Samoa Joe. Bully Ray is scheduled to take on Mr. Anderson. There's some rumblings that this is going to turn into a Falls Count Anywhere match. I can see these guys brawling, and all of a sudden, hey, a Philly playoff game is going on. Get out of the way. Do you happen to have the Phillies playoff schedule, Andy Rock? Is the NLCS going on October 16th in your town? If the
NLDS. NLDS.
No, they'll already be in the NLCS by October 16th. The NLDS begins this weekend.
Oh, I thought Bound for Glory was this weekend.
No, Bound for Glory is October 16th. So Rock is going to try to find the playoff schedule.
Can we get Carinos on?
I'm going to try to get Carino-san. We've got a lot of people coming in the next few weeks that we'll talk about in a couple minutes here, because our schedule just got really, really crowded really, really fast thanks to our friends in Crossfire Entertainment. So,
yes, thanks to them and girl to everything else.
Yeah. So tell the fans before we run the next, before the next guests arrive, you posted on your Facebook page that your dad was driving somewhere and heard a promote for a certain wrestling promotion. Please tell this story, because I nearly peed my pants laughing.
I believe that would be is that a Spug
That's
story?
To you, Spug. Spug, segue. To you, do I lose Spug? Rock is saying that if there is a Game 6 in the National League Championship Series, would it... Ooh, wow, so it may end up being in Philly that day. Lovely. Do the Eagles have a home game? You don't know. You don't have an Eagles schedule slapped next to your computer. That's a hometown fan for ya.
He pushed his buttons on the television, and then the show comes on.
That's it. He's just sitting there. They're not going to get blacked out in his community. I'm like living here in Tampa Bay.
I'm here now. Sorry.
Okay. So please tell the fans, clue the fans into what we're talking about with your dad's travels.
Oh, my God. All right. Just a preface. My dad works for a rubber company out of Akron. And he is their sales manager, I would say. I mean, he's not like, you know, knocking on door to door. He has a set list of clients that he goes to, and he was down in North Carolina visiting some of his clients down there. And I called him Friday because we got rained out at work to see if he wanted to go to lunch. And him and I are talking, and he says, he was on his way home, so no lunch day for me. And he says, I hear they have this new nostalgia wrestling league. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, I heard the commercial for it while I was down in North Carolina. I guess Sting beat Ric Flair, so now that he beat Ric Flair, he gets to wrestle Hogan. And I was like, no, Dad, it's not a new nostalgia wrestling league. It's TNA. They've been around there for a while. What the hell's TNA?
Oh, wow. Just helps out when, you know, Ric Flair had said it too in interviews. So he would walk through airports and people would go, oh, so what are you doing now that you're retired? And like, I'm not retired, this is where I work.
Yeah.
Oh, and hopefully his surgery went well. He hopefully came through it with flying colors to be able to be iced by Fortune and other groups there.
What the hell? Is he having 4 foot of ego removed from his anus?
Not sure. To be straight up honest.
I'm sorry, after reading that article that I got a hold of.
It was on Grantland, I believe it's called.
Yeah, after reading that, like, my opinion of him has changed drastically.
Yep, and it's a shame, but it is. Oh. Allen Eagles play in Washington. Okay, so Joseph Girl's telling me that the Eagles play at the Redskins on October 16th, so you don't have to worry about that if you're looking for ways to get out of going to this pay-per-view. And I found out someone I have a TNA follower, I believe, on our Twitter account. My name is Wojcik. He was popped on Thursday and had an interesting chat with a gentleman on Thursday while Sir Rock and I were watching. Well, actually, Rock was retweeting.
He was a TNA delusionist.
Yeah, Rock was retweeting me.
Somebody who works for TNA?
I'm not 100% sure. I need to find the gentleman again. Because he was on here. Where'd he go? And now, of course, because I want to find him, he's not here. But we had some fun this past week that we were during the segment where Jeff Hardy was going around doing the whole, I'm making amends for stuff, and next thing you know, this gentleman popped on and was saying that, we're reading into this too much, and this is a great story, and I'm going, dude, it's... No, I made the mistake of saying the whole, covered TNA for years, and you're using the whole you just follow. I'm not in the business, so I don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, dude, seriously, we're just screwing around. So if you're on a Thursday night and you're sitting there watching Impact with some friends, and you want to have a little ha ha with us, you can follow me on Twitter, which, yes, I can't believe I do now, thanks to these two. Well, more spug than anybody else, telling me once you're on it, you're going to be stuck with it. Yeah, I'm stuck with the damn thing. It is my name is Wojcik, and you can also follow us at Wild Talk Radio. Sir Rockin will drop some hysterical knowledge there. And it was funny also to see they were doing... They actually have, I believe it's called the Impact Wrestling Coastal Chaos Cruise, and I immediately typed in, look at the WCW Bruise, I mean the Impact Wrestling Cruise. You know, some of the stuff I had mentioned, like, Karen Jarrett tells Tess Mocker no striptease stuff, this coming from the former adult dancer. So, but to move past the Twitter account and everything, as I mentioned, Mace not happy about this, but Mace is gonna have to deal with it. Before we go to break, in case you don't stick around for the final segments, this is our schedule in the next few weeks. Next Tuesday night we'll be rejoined by the History of WWE encyclopedia author, co-author Brian Shields. We will be joined by the cold-hearted player Danny DeMonto, who's going to be working for a promotion in Orlando. If you're a Northeast guy, Danny has been around up there for years. These next guests are pretty cool to get. So thanks to Marcus Pistorius and Lakeisha Oliver at Crossfire. Next Tuesday night, former WWE and WCW star Fit Finley will be here. On October the 11th, he's been here before. Actually, both of them have been here before. Former NWA president Howard Brody and former NWA World Tag Team Champion Vito DiNucci, they're both going to be here to talk about their new endeavor called Ring Warriors. And if you read Howard Brody's book, yes, it's the same promotion, just a different setup. Our second guest from Crossfire Entertainment will join us that night. He will be on at 9 o'clock, and that will be the one and only Al Snow. We don't have anybody set yet for October 18th. Believe me, the way things are going these days, that'll change, I'm sure, in a heartbeat. October 25th, I've interviewed him before, and I get to interview him again. The franchise Shane Douglas will be here.
Yes!
So watch out, because F-bombs will probably fly that day.
Fly that day, how about right now? Fuck you, 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 and fuck you.
I'm totally going to bag on him about the Steelers.
I'm not done yet, because on November 1st, other shows will have her as a guest between now and then. But as they used to say about Kiss, you've heard the rest, now listen to the best. She was a cookie in TNA Wrestling. Why, I have no frickin' clue. She's coming home to WSU at their iPay-per-view on November 19th, and she's also going to be at Crossfire Entertainment's event in Nashville on November 5th. Becky Bayless will be our guest on November the 1st. So mark your calendars, get ready, because it's going to be a real fun October. There may be some Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup people coming along. I'll mention who's in Peterson Cup in a little while, because that's going to be real crazy. So we're going to go to break, and we will be rejoined in a couple moments here by one half of the Boston Shore. She is Lexus, Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always just end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer. Producer of the show.
Shut up. With the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. Insult myself real bad. Wow.
Wow.
All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What'd I do?
Right. I'm Rob Buzz, your Godfather Tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
This is Alicia from WSU Wrestling, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network, heard on Wild Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com each and every Tuesday night. We're not a jerk-off podcast. We don't take off for Little League softball or anything like that. I almost would have had to take off for my wedding anniversary, which is October 3rd, but thank goodness that's a Monday, so I get saved for at least one more year than in 2012. But the wife's going to look at me going, yeah, no show that night. Sorry, sunshine. We're going to talk some WSU and also with Northeast Wrestling because our guest is going to be taking on Mickey James at Autumn Ambush on the same night that Matt Taven will be defending the Northeast Wrestling Championship against Tommy Dreamer. She is normally joined by another lovely lady that are known as the Boston Shore. She recently took on Mercedes Martinez on a match that, I kid you not, kids, went 73 minutes. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about everything with Lexus. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be with you guys tonight.
Yeah. Take us back a little bit for fans that watch WSU but not on a regular basis. What was your initial dealings with the promotion? Did they seek you out to be in WSU? Did you seek them out? How did this pairing eventually happen?
Actually, it's a pretty funny story. Me and Amber are from the same area, and the beautiful people were on one of the NEW shows. And the promoter from NEW put me and Amber together as a tag team just for, like, the hell of it, I guess, for shits and giggles. And it actually really worked really well. So I mean, there was other shows after that. Me and Amber were talking about how WSU was and how the promotion actually, like, you know, made a step forward with women's wrestling. And I always told her, let's just do something up there. Let's bring up, like, maybe a tag team up there, like Boston Shore or something. And she's like, oh, that sounds awesome. So she talked to the promoter at WSU, and he was all for the idea. So that's just how it got started. So I guess I kind of seeked it, and then it kind of worked out. So,
and were you against the idea being stereotyped as being from Boston, like the Jersey Shore gimmick? Because we had Alicia on, and we talked about the Jersey Shore show a while back, and she's like, I can't stand that effing show because that's not Jersey people. That's, you know, those are people from New York to visit over the winter. Was there any apprehension on you and Amber that you're like, I don't know if I want to be labeled from Boston like that, man? Or was it, you know, I'm proud of my heritage. I'm glad that this idea came up.
I thought it was a cool idea. I mean, like, the Jersey Shore, like, some people love it, some people hate it. And, you know, I mean, it's probably, like, the most viewed show, like, on, like, TV right now, so... If anything, I love the fact that we were kind of like a knockoff of the Jersey Shore, you know what I mean? And we can represent Boston in a different kind of way as like Jersey can represent Jersey. So I think it works, and I actually love the whole fact of being called the Boston Shore. And we're badass bitches, so we come from Boston, so it's good to represent.
And I've seen you compete on DVD on several occasions, so you're definitely not making stuff up there. Fans that want to know, oh God, they did win. Tampa Bay has won 5-3. So
yes!
Now
yes!
The great question
Suck
is,
it, Red
I don't
Sox.
I don't
Suck
have
it.
A Red Sox score in front of me, so let me we'll take a second here and we'll find out since. Since Lexus literally is from, oh God, Boston is in the top of the ninth, 8-6, so you may get a one-day playoff. And
yes.
She's being for the moment she's being nice to me, unlike Eddie Edwards was when he found that I was a Yankee fan after the show ended. He's like, by the way, screw you for being a Yankee fan. I was like, oh God, great. My outside.
Hey, whatever you like, but Boston definitely is the shit, and we're definitely going all the way this year. So.
Right, you'll be sitting in the seats while I raise my championship trophy again. Sorry.
In your dreams. Boston's going straight to a first-round loss in the playoffs if they make it that far.
You get
ridiculous.
Detroit or you
See?
Get Texas first. You get Detroit or Texas. I don't care which one we play. So
Verlander's a buzzsaw, and you're not going to make it to the Texas lineup. So...
Awful.
Unless you're pitching, because I'd rather have you pitching than John Lackey right now.
Maybe that can happen.
Yeah, we're being nice here.
I'm not being nice.
When you go down the WSU roster, like you had mentioned there's some badass bitches in wrestling, and unfortunately, it seems like every one of them works for this promotion. We had Jessica on last week. We've had Mercedes Martinez on a number of times. We've had Angel Orsini on. We've had Alicia on. Serena Deeb is a part of this roster. You two aren't exactly the nicest ladies in this locker room. Do you guys ever worry about yourselves in here? I mean, it doesn't seem like you have much allegiances there, or are there some that haven't come out yet?
Well, I mean, WSU has, like, the best women all around the world, you know what I mean? It's not just from one, like, side of the world. It's from everywhere. You got the Ohio girls, you got the Boston girls, you got the Jersey girls. And you know something, I really think it's just like, it's one place where everyone can get together and just represent where they're from. And you know something, it is the best thing to go in and think that you're the shit and your shit doesn't sink. And I mean, that's just how all of us are gonna be. And the best in the world is gonna come up on top. And I mean, Boston is obviously the greatest and definitely gonna come on top. I mean, with Amber going for the Spirit Championship, probably once again down the road, and definitely my goal is to definitely capture that WSU championship, whether it's Mercedes Martinez or Jessica Havoc.
Well, you got to get through Jessica Havoc to get the spirit title first and foremost, and she's a bad bitch.
She is bad, but you know something? I mean, no one from WSU had no idea, like, what I can bring to the table. And, I mean, I'm sure I proved to many people, not only the fans, but the girls in the locker room at the last show, that I'm pretty bad myself. So I'm not scared of Jessica Havoc. And, you know something? I might even go grab that title from her, too. You know what I mean? She brings what she brings to the table, and I have a whole different style. So if that's what it is, then that's what it is.
I want to break the fourth wall down for a second here, because you did win the Uncensored Rumble, and that gets the person the shot to take on the champion. Did it blow your mind when you were told, okay, not only are you going over, but this is what's going to happen to you? Did you just sit there and kind of go, tag team wrestler, hello, what am I doing in a singles match? Or did you sit there and go, yes, this is what I want, this is how I can prove, yes, Amber's a great partner, but I can show how good I am?
Definitely the second way. You know what I mean? Like, I've been a singles competitor my whole career, and I love Amber. She's one of my closest friends inside and outside of wrestling, and nothing against her, but, you know, I want myself to come up on top first. You know what I mean? And that night was just a night to prove to everybody, and not just everybody, but to myself, that I can do it. You know what I mean? I've been doing it for, like, 7 years now. And it's just my time to shine, and that was my night. And, I mean, it was a huge accomplishment, and I think Amber was as excited as I was about it. So there was no hard feelings or anything like that, but it was definitely a night just to show what I can bring to the table.
When you're told, okay, I mean, because unfortunately I didn't get to see the iPay-per-view, and I'll be watching the DVD in a couple of days. It's in the pile that I keep reducing and reducing as I go along. But I got tweets from folks that were at that event, including our sister website, DivaDirt.com, was there. And they're like, you're not going to believe what happened at the show. And I go, okay, well, Mercedes got beat out. Lexus is the new champs. He goes, not exactly. It's like, the match is still going. And I'm like, okay, it was a 60-minute time limit. And they're like, no, they're still going. Was that a goal of Sean's that you know of, or you or Mercedes, to sit there and go, let's blow the roof off of this? And how do you mentally prepare to go that long in the ring?
Well, it wasn't an idea from anybody. I think it was just a match for, like, two people. Like, Mercedes is always on her toes, regardless who she's working against. And, I mean, I went for as hard as I can, you know what I mean? Whatever she gave me, I gave to her. It wasn't anything that we were preparing for. We just went and gave it our all. And, I mean, I don't think anyone can prepare for going that long. I think it's just, you know, you go in there and just kind of pace yourself and then just go for it. And I think that's what we did. Like, I mean, it was a very intense match. And there wasn't any, like, you know what I mean, like, any spots where, like, anything seemed off or anything. It was just really intense, brutal, and, I mean, it made complete sense. It was just an awesome experience, and, I mean, that's all I can say. Like, I hope everyone enjoys it. If you haven't seen it, please, you know, order the DVD. It's something to watch. And I'm not just saying that because I was part of it, but it was really an amazing match.
Lexus of the Boston Shore, WSU Tag Team Champion, joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. She will be a part of Northeast Wrestling's event that we'll talk about in a couple minutes here. But it's fun for us because, like I said, I've covered the product far away, unfortunately, via DVD. We've asked Sean on numerous occasions, and I know you got there. I believe you were at Cinemania, the promotion was. Do you wish that WSU would branch out and start traveling more, or is the locker room kind of just sitting there going, oh, going across the river to New York City might not be a bad start, and then we'll expand out?
I'm always up for traveling. Like, I wish WSU can just invade everywhere, you know what I mean, and just bring, I mean, WSU has, like, probably the best product for women's wrestling nowadays around this area. And maybe even around the world, you know what I mean? There's not many all-girl promotions that actually want to make women's wrestling more than what it is today. So I would definitely be up for, like, us invading many different cities or even countries. You never know what can happen. So, yeah, I would definitely think that WSU would definitely be on top of their game if they were to invade other places.
Yeah. This match that you're going to be taking part in Northeast Wrestling, which is Autumn Ambush in Poughkeepsie at Mid-Hudson Civic Center, when the promoters came and he went and said, so, yeah, you, Mickey James, have fun. I mean, you've been in the ring with some real badass women in your career, but this is someone who's a TNA Knockout champion, WWE champion. Do you hesitate at all, or is this another stepping stone to prove that you're one of the best in the business?
Well, last year, around the same time, I actually got the opportunity to wrestle her. So, last year, I was extremely nervous. Like, I mean, she is one of the best. Like, I've looked up to her. She inspired me. I went to an ROH show probably, like, maybe 8 years ago with a bunch of my friends and stuff like that. And she was Alexis Lurie at the time. And I thought she was amazing. And that night was one of those nights where I was like, you know something? Like, that girl is awesome. And I want to do what she's doing. And 8 years later, or however many years later, I got to be in the ring with her. I mean, it was a real big accomplishment just to be in the ring with her. But not only to be in there with her, but I also hung with her. And this year, it's even better because now I know what I'm capable of. I mean, from the year last year to now, I've obviously gotten better and, like, in the ring and outside the ring. And I don't know, I still get nervous, you know what I mean? You always will, everybody will. But yeah, it's really, really, really awesome to even just have the opportunity to actually be in the ring with her.
Yeah, at this show also, as we mentioned, with Matt Taven, he'll be taking on Tommy Dreamer. Terry Funk will take on Jerry the King Lawler in what they're claiming is their final match ever. When you see two of those gentlemen competing, and they're both elder statesmen, do you ever sit there and kind of go, okay, I'm in my 20s. I can't even think 40 years down the road when I'm 60 and I'm still competing. Do you have a mental clock going? You know, okay, when I'm at 40, I may work once a month, or do you not even think that way at this point in your career?
I mean, there are times where I'm like, all right, do you really think that I should be doing this when I'm, like, 30 years old or even 35? Like, you know what I mean? Is it my time still, or will I get the chance? But you know something? Like, you just have to put in perspective, hey, I'm young, I'm just going to keep doing it as long as I can and just have fun with it. I don't want to be one of those bitter people, you know what I mean, that hate wrestling and just do it just to do it. But once it comes to that point, which I believe will never come to that point, I love doing what I do, and if I didn't, then I wouldn't do it. So I just think, as long as I can go, I'm going to keep going. So I give Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler and all the older veterans the props for even doing what they do at their age.
Your resume, and this, I'm hoping this is right, because the Online World of Wrestling Radio stuff sometimes is right, other times has people like Chris Masters married, Jay Lethal dating AJ still. Yours has you on a September 25th, 2008 edition of Impact taking on the Awesome Kong. What was the TNA experience like for you, and would that be something you'd like to add to your resume down the road? Do you think TNA with WSU mixed in would be good for you?
Well, yeah, it is true. In 2008, I had, a 5-minute match with, Awesome Kong, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, it was closer to, you know, everybody wants to be on TV, and that's what everyone's dream is. If not, then I'm not sure what everybody's dream is, and I don't know why they're doing it, but yes, my dream is to obviously be at WWE or TNA, whatever is comfortable for me at the time. But, it was an amazing experience. I met a lot of people. I actually got the chance to be in front of the TV for the first time. I mean, I was very nervous. But, I mean, even just being in the ring with her was an amazing experience. I would love to be in TNA or WWE, wherever. TNA, yeah.
Do you worry when you see... We asked Jessica this, and she was very vocal on her feelings on the way the WWE Diva division has gone, with Kelly having the championship now and seemingly laying down people like Natty Neidhart and Beth Phoenix, and Melina's gone and she's going to be at the I pay-per-view, and Serena's gone and it's also going to be at the I pay-per-view. If you're sensing a trend, fans, yes, it's really cool to see this kind of thing happen. But does that bother you at all, or are you one of the few that is a fan of Kelly being the Diva champ?
I'm not going to say I'm a fan, or I'm not going to say I'm not a fan. Like, I feel like WWE doesn't promote women's wrestling like they should. Like, it's kind of a little bit embarrassing, if I would admit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there are, like, Beth Phoenix, Serena is amazing, like, Melina is awesome, you know what I mean? Mickie James, they released her over the last couple of years. Like, I mean, it's like all the girls that have the ability to make women's wrestling what it's supposed to be ends up leaving. I'm not sure if it's on bad terms or not, or whose decision it was. But, like, I mean, even Gail Kim is another one to talk about. But, I mean, the way they promote women's wrestling, yes, I'm not a fan of. Am I a fan of Kelly? I do think she is, like, Trish Stratus, for example. When she first came to WWE, she was the model and had probably no clue about wrestling, but she transformed into probably one of the best women's champion that they had for a while. I mean, Kelly could be the next Trish Stratus. You just never know. I mean, she does have potential, and I am a fan of hers. Now, maybe to be the women's champion, I'm not really sure if that would be the best decision. But, you know, something, she's doing what they want her to do, and she's doing a good job at it. So we'll just see where they go from there.
The iPay-per-view, it's a while away. It's November 19th, but fans can jot the date down because the bell time is 7 p.m., and you can get it through, I believe it's on GoFightLive.tv. There's a new sheriff in town, so to speak, and we found that out at the last WSU event, that Primetime Amy Lee has stepped away from the ring in a competitive sense and is now running things, and is going to be a part of the double main event. She'll be in the War Games cage match as the referee. What was the general reaction from both you and Amber in the locker room when this went down? Did you guys think, crap, of all the people to put in charge, you put her in charge?
I mean, we were happy and probably scared shit a little bit, because Amy Lee is probably the most vocal person that you ever will meet in wrestling. But she means business, and she has a lot of faith in WSU, so I think that's where we were happy. We have someone in control that actually loves the business and actually knows a lot about the business, so it is good for us to have her in control. Now, on the whole scared shit about it is, you never know what she's going to say or what she's going to do, so everyone's just going to be on their toes now, and just hopefully everything works out for the boss and sure.
At that event, your tag team championships will be on the line. Taking on, and you want to talk great names, if you're a fan of great tag team names, you've got the Midwest Militia, which is right now Jessica Havoc, Allison Kay, and Sassy Steffi. You girls are going to be taking on the International Homewrecking Crew, which is the Radiant Rain and Jetta. Now, you two have been laying waste to teams left and right. Is this your toughest competition, or is it another team that maybe you may face down the road? Is there anyone in this promotion that you two are sitting there going, okay, well, let's steer away from defending against them. Let's not piss Amy off and she goes, okay, cool, you're going to have to take on Mercedes Martinez and Alicia, or Jessica Havoc and Allison Kay, or something worse than that.
See, we're pretty nice people, but I'm going to tell you one thing. We're not scared of anybody. We don't care what tag team they throw at us. We're actually looking for challenges. We actually defeated Nikki Rocks and April Hunter, which are probably two of the best around the New England area. Now, for Rain and Jetta to be the International Homewrecking Crew, we're not scared. I mean, yeah, they are a really good tag team, and they've probably been doing it a lot longer than us, but actually, we're actually looking forward to it, And we know that we're still going to walk out there undefeated and still be the WSU Tag Champions.
Will you find yourself sitting on a monitor when these double main events take place? Do you sit and watch other matches? I mean, you're going to have, for the first time ever, Melina taking on Serena, and then you're going to have the first ever female War Games steel cage match. Were you the opposite of going, yeah, okay, we won, all right, cool, where's my money? Cool, let's hit the bars.
No, I'm one of those that actually sits there and watches every match on the show from beginning to end. And I also even do some homework at home on, you know what I mean? I actually maybe YouTube girls that are on the show that I've never heard of, or if I heard of, like, I just see other stuff. Like, I am completely one of those that just sit there and I'm glued to the monitor. Whether I win or lose, or if it's the night is over or whatever, nope, I definitely want to just make sure what's out there and what everyone else is bringing.
Got an email at radioandonlineworldofwrestling.com from Alyssa Shook of Tampa, Florida. It says, I unfortunately watched the Wrestlelicious program and felt bad for some of the girls on it. Do you think the next step for WSU is to have a TV show? It's an interesting question. Yeah.
Of course, I would think that it would be a perfect thing for them. I think they are ready for it. I wouldn't see it not being a bad idea. I wish, even if someone's listening right now, I wish someone would pick it up and just, you know, WSU is a lot different from every other girls' promotion. I mean, they love doing it and they want it to move forward. Some places don't even enjoy women's wrestling. And for what WSU does, I think they deserve a TV show of their own.
All right, let me make sure I get these dates out there for the fans. It's this Saturday, Mid-Hudson Civic Center, Poughkeepsie, New York. Get there early. I believe there is an autograph session of 5:30 that you can actually go to northeastwrestling.com and pre-order stuff. You can get your tickets on sale for that event. The iPay-per-view, circle this one on your calendar. It is Saturday, November the 19th, Breaking Barriers 2. There's a meet and greet from 4 to 6 at the Ace Arena, and then bell time is 7 o'clock, and we'll be talking with some other folks from the WSU roster as we go along. Got a lot of people that emailed us because we listed our stuff on Twitter, and everybody's like, yeah, Matt Taven there, Matt Taven's there, where's Lexus? Do you have a social networking set up yet, or are you not like doing that interaction?
No, I do. I have a Facebook. It should be up and running this week, actually. I have my own personal one, but I'm going to get one for wrestling as well, so we will have that shortly. But we can go from there. Alexis Navair is probably what the name's going to be, and it'll probably be up this week, so.
All right. Stay with us as we go to break here, because I want to ask you something off the air. Coming up, okay. we will get into all the fun that is WWE TV. I can't believe it. This Sunday is another damn pay-per-view. We will talk Hell in the Cell. We will talk about the mystery of why we're being forced into Sin Cara and Sin Cara. Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be right back.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Of course.
Gary.
Panic Missed Out.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all-around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
Thanks to Lexus of WSU and Northeast Wrestling for joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. You can listen to each and every one of our shows live here Tuesday night from 9 o'clock to 11-ish Eastern. You can go to owradio.com and you can download our previous episodes. We also download the clickwrestle.com. We download it iTunes if you're a pod person. There's also our home site, wildtalkradio.com. Archives our shows and the others that we'll mention when we get towards the end of this evening. It's scary to think, didn't we just talk about a frickin' WWE pay-per-view? And yeah, there's one this Sunday and got four matches announced that we'll talk about with Spug and Mace in a moment here. But this came out of, I want to touch on this news item real quick, because this just made me scratch my head going, okay, we're going to have Hogan and we're going to have Sting at Bound for Glory. The British tabloid newspaper The Sun interviewed WWE Hall of Famer Stone Cold Steve Austin. He repeated his previous comments that if he were to face someone one more time in a ring, it's CM Punk that he wants to take on. He says, quote, I hear the stories, and if the stars align and all things worked out to benefit us all, the WWE, myself, and CM Punk, I'd have to say he's the guy I'd want to pick to face. Austin added that he looks up to Punk for what he's doing right now, just like Punk looks up to him for what he did in the ring when he was on top of his career, and call it a case of mutual respect. Austin says, I'm sure I could get another match out of this carcass of mine. Austin also briefly talked about Tough Enough, saying that it's 95% guaranteed that we will see a season 2 and that he's involved in the process more than he expected, and he really enjoyed that. Which makes me wonder, and I'm sorry to talk out of turn here to all your Stone Cold Steve Austin fans, but this is a guy who in 1997 nearly died in the ring in an accident with Owen Hart. Was hyper-reflexive in his knees, and his last WrestleMania match with The Rock. You know, is this another situation, Mace, of the body wants and the brain's going,
quite possibly the other way around. It's the heart and the brain going, we want to do this, and the body going, I don't want to!
I mean, he's got a good movie career going. He was on an episode. He had a recurring part on Chuck. He was in The Expendables, which, no, he's not coming back for the second one. He died. Randy Couture kicked him into a humongous barbecue, if you saw it. Yes, movie reference, I score. So I'd love to see it. This almost seems like a WWE All-Stars video game scenario of the 1996-97 Steve Austin. I don't know. Spug, thoughts on this? Would you like to sit through?
I want to see Punk Austin, but I have contact info for you.
Uh-oh.
For somebody we should interview.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Marlboro Man? Because I hear a click-click in the background.
It is not the Marlboro Man.
Damn, I wanted him on the show. That way we can hear his lung machine.
They can sponsor. They can sponsor this show, by the way, if they really, really want to.
Why not? I'm more straight edge than CM Punk, and that'd be awesome. I gotta have a beer company, a cigarette company.
But to back up your point, Alan, Stone Cold in recent interviews has also said his injuries aren't as bad as they were. He is a lot healthier. His knees aren't as bad as they were years ago. He's healed up.
We all heal up until you start getting in the ring and bump. I mean, please. And anybody that's going to start firing off hate emails at RadioAndAllIWillOfWrestling.com, I have been a big fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin for years. I was a fan of Stunning Steve in WCW when he had Lady Blossom and everyone that was involved in there. But it's almost, I'm sitting there going, okay, man, if we're going to see The Rock come back, and The Rock left on his own, his body didn't say, dude, clock, you know, you got to go. This is the guy who, unfortunately, the night of the WrestleMania where he wrestled The Rock, also nearly died in Seattle in a hospital room from the hyperreflexive and the mix of coffee and energy drinks and everything else. I mean, I hope if he can go one more match and he can make a mill out of it, that's not a pretty bad double main event at WrestleMania Miami. John Cena versus The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin versus CM Punk. You want to talk about pay-per-view buys? Holy crap.
Over under 1.5 million?
Ooh. I don't know. That'd be a tough one.
Mind you, though, I'd be more interested in watching Austin and Punk than I am Cena and The Rock.
Would you ever want to see John Cena versus Steve Austin? I know we're playing fantasy wrestling.
No!
Don't want to see the five moves of Doom versus Stone Cold.
Only if after Cena does the five moves of Doom, Stone Cold pops straight up, instantly kicks him in the gut, gives him a stunner, and then just kicks him out of the ring.
We're gonna break the traditional no spoiler rule here, because I gotta talk about this. This came thanks to Mace from the SmackDown taping. Sin Cara, which I believe might be Mystico, defeated the one-man rock band Heath Slater. After the match, the other Sin Cara, which we'll say is Hunico for the moment, it could be Howard Finkel under there for all I know, with a really amazing body, appeared on a screen, cut a promo in the Spanish. Ricardo Rodriguez did not translate for me, so damn you. Apparently he took off his normal blue setup to reveal a new black mask and outfit, so it looks like we're going to get Sin Cara versus Sin Cara at our pay-per-view.
Now, come on, Ellen. Call him what you said off air. Come on.
What the heck is this? This is black Sin Cara versus blue Sin Cara.
Jamal, what? Have you taken a job without telling us?
I mean, what the crap? So, I understand there's like 65 Volanos running around Mexico, and I could strap Mysterio to the back of my name and get away with it, because I don't think in Mexico he's got a copyright on it, but We've seen it the last couple weeks here. We saw it this past Monday Night Raw during the Battle Royal that Cody Rhodes had to defend the championship in. Nobody cares, guys. I mean, do either one of you care about this?
The only thing that I care about is the fact that they have, that once again, we're getting Spanish on television without subtitles. Like, these things are pre-scripted. Sure, they can't, like, give us subtitles. It's sort of I know they're trying to convey a live feel and anything can happen in wrestling, blah, 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 blah. But when you have two guys speaking Spanish on SmackDown, how am I supposed to get what the hell's going on?
Look back at Maryse when she was talking trash to Gail.
Yeah, and you had to wait 2 days for a translation to come out.
Yeah, I mean, but do you want to have it ruined with Ricardo's intro of Del Rio? The fans already know that they're getting insulted in some form or fashion. That's the fans are in San Jose, how he insulted the Sharks hockey franchise. Oh,
Alan, did you know you can be Sin Cara if you really, really wanted to?
I could be Sin Cara? How could I be Sin Cara? Tell me, please.
Go to WWEshop.com. You can get the jacket, the arm thingies, and the mask for like $99.
Yeah, if I see one of those kids running around the neighborhood on Halloween, I'm just going to be like, come here, kid.
But you can also be Zack Ryder, too.
To be honest, I was actually thinking about picking them up because that jacket, especially at $99, is pretty damn cheap.
For ring gear, that's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you two both are involved in the business. Price me out. What does that jacket normally retail for if you get it from High Spots or an actual manufacturer? Are we talking hundreds here or thousands? A
couple hundred.
Yeah, for something that length, I know down here I'd be paying at least $150 to $200 minimum.
That's about right. About two to $250 on average.
That's just...
So to get that for $99, even if it is a cheapo reproduction, is pretty damn good, especially since, what, the masks are retailing for $50, $60 each on the website.
Jesus.
It's a good deal. Mind you, these Halloween packages, though, some of them actually look really, like, worth buying. Because, come on, who doesn't want to get the Zack Ryder Halloween set with the headband and the glasses and the t-shirt?
Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
or the CM Punk, which comes with CM Punk t-shirt, necklace, the, well, very cheaper wrist wraps, and a baseball cap with cap image coming soon written on it.
Wait. They have made Hold on. Mace? Punk cap.
Wait,
Alan,
what?
Yeah. Alan, Kung Fu Chicken Noodle. Not Doodle.
Okay.
Kung Fu Chicken Noodle.
I just saw the picture. That is awesome. We must email this person.
That's the guy who runs who runs Kaiju Big Battle. But if I ever hear you blaspheme and call him Kung Fu Chicken Doodle again, I will stab you. And
it's
not
a mistype. I admit it. I'll openly admit I mistyped.
It's not the cube. It's Dr. Cube.
Dr. Cube. Okay.
Yes, we need to introduce you to the awesome that is Kaiju Big Battle.
You know, they have a Facebook page now, right, Mace?
They do?
Uh-huh.
Why was I not informed?
Go to Facebook, look up Kaiju Big Battle. It's awesome.
I'm doing that now.
Oh, did you really have to bring that up, Jersey? No, I'm not going to... Do I really want to talk that...
It's a trending topic, Alan.
What are we talking about? Oh, God.
Really trended last night? Are she kidding me, Rock? You follow the trending stuff. The words anal and bleeding in one sentence because that retard of an announcer, Michael Cole... decided to mention that
it
Jerry
was
Lawler
not Michael
was
Cole.
Injured.
Michael Cole mentioned it. You know whose joke it was. Vince McMahon's.
Oh, God. This is the kind of stuff that just makes me want to smack my head against the wall. And speaking of smacking heads against the wall, your husband was real busy this Monday night. It seems like every week now we're opening with a Triple H promo. I mean, I have no problem with it, but vary it up a little bit?
The other week, CM Punk opened the show.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I mean, this is week after week after week, promo, promo, promo. I know we're conditioned from the Raw Nitro era.
He's setting up the show.
At least it wasn't about him, it was about the show this week.
Yeah. What's that, Cody? You wanna defend it in a fatal four-way? I've got a better idea. I'm going to go in the back and find the first 9 guys. Tell
yeah,
me what
reaction.
He said that didn't come out just a little bit too homoerotic.
The reaction of the audience was just priceless, because it seemed to be, okay, this is the Let's Bitch segment of the show, and you had Ziggler and Vicky, and then Captain Cupcake comes out, and then Cody comes out. I was like, who else is going to come and complain here? I mean, are we going to start getting fans lining up going? So, yeah. This Cole guy, he needs to go.
By the way, I think they're setting it up. I think they're going to put a legitimate title on Zack Ryder.
Oh, why not? We're hoping for it.
Deserves it.
There's only 4 matches announced so far, and I don't know if Rock can look at the spoiler list and see. We'll check in a second here. But amazingly, Cody Rhodes survived this matchup, taking out both Sin Caras. Well, one Sin Cara took the other out. John Morrison, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, Ezekiel Jackson, Drew McIntyre, Alex Riley, Ted DiBiase Jr., and Justin Gabriel. Someone made a crack on there. I can't remember if it was Rock or someone on Twitter made a crack about the order of elimination in this match showed your order, your list of importance in the WWE roster. Ow! I believe the kids call that a burn. I'm still learning some of the stuff. We'll mention him in a second here. We're going to get another Kelly versus Beth match on Sunday, and maybe a forecast from last night where Beth Phoenix and Natty defeated the duly dressed Kelly and Eve Torres, Eve social network, that I changed my look, and I'm just sitting there going, alright, you are green.
No.
She copied Kelly's look. Next week, she's going to go blonde and complete the transformation.
She changed her bangs off her hair, too.
Yeah, and apparently Jersey Girl has christened them a tag. I don't know if it's just Jersey or Jackie Feist that did it, that they've nicknamed the tag team the Airheads. So I don't know
Fuck
if we're gonna
Jackie
see
Feist.
I don't know if we're gonna see T-shirts from them soon or not.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm gonna say this one last time.
Go ahead, sir.
And so maybe somebody will get it through their thick
and
fucking skull.
Spug, before you start the rant, it was Jersey Girl who came up with the tag team name. So
I'm not talking about the tag team name.
I know. I'm just making it clear. He was trying to...
And before you go too far further, the opinions expressed by a Spud guy are not reflected by anybody else in the Wild Talk Radio Network. There you go, he may proceed.
You know, we talked about it earlier with Lexus. I really am getting sick of all this hate for Kelly Kelly. Everybody's favorite diva... Beloved diva is Trish Stratus, right? What did Trish Stratus start out as?
Manager for TNA.
A manager and a model. A fitness model. What is Kelly Kelly? A fitness model. Over the last 5 to 6 years, we have seen her go from not being able to take her bra off, two, she can actually work a pretty decent match. She's not phenomenal. She's not fantastic. She's not going to be in the upper echelons of women's wrestlers, you know, like Moolah and whatnot. But for 1 second, can't we give credit where credit is due on the fact that this girl has worked her ass off?
without Fit Finlay there, because he was in charge of the Divas division for the longest time. I believe Goldust, I'm not 100% sure on that, is actually in charge now.
I believe he is.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll give her credit where credit is due. She's come way further than she was with the dancing thing on ECW she did.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I like her or hate her, give her credit. Okay, she may come off as the complete bimbo airhead. So did Maria Kanellis, and we've had her on here twice. Did anybody think she was a bimbo airhead after that?
I knew she wasn't before I saw her there. So it was like, hello, character. But I don't know Kelly outside of the business. So
all I'm saying is don't judge the book by its cover and give her a little bit of credit. Everybody bashes on the girl, and all she's doing is going out and working her ass off.
From where she was till now, she has improved.
It's the same thing with John Cena. Everybody bashes on him, and all he does every night is go out there and work his ass off.
It's like former WWE radio interviewee Josie Animal Steel. Everybody thought his character was stupid and that he was an idiot. Dude has doctorates, and he's probably one of the smartest mofos we've had on this show.
Right.
Yeah. To move, you mentioned champions, so let's mention this. There was supposed to be a World Heavyweight Championship match between Mark Henry and the Great Khali. Well, that really didn't go so well.
That was impressive.
I can't believe he picked that dude up. Wow.
I was peeing while that was going on.
Sure, a lot of America was.
Don't worry, Alan. Friday night, it happens.
Oh, goody.
You thought you escaped it on Monday. No, it's going to be on Friday.
Lovely. John Cena was set up in a match with Christian during Triple H's scolding of everyone that came out to ringside. Defeated Christian by a DQ. CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio were on commentary, and everybody was like, yes, the jacket is back. Maze, clue us in on the jacket, because you have an inside scoop on that.
Well, for those that can actually remember when Punk was sitting down at the commentary, Michael Cole mentions, you know, nice suit, nice jacket, and Punk's gone, yeah, I got it off a bum, which of course gets a laugh at everybody. It turns out that that particular jacket that Punk wore down to the ring for the commentary segment belongs to our good friend John Laurinaitis. So Laurinaitis has had his jacket stolen for a segment, and CM Punk calls him a bum. Awesome!
Yeah, I enjoyed having the two of them out there, and it definitely helped set things up for later in the evening. Speaking of other folks that got scolded, Zack Ryder ended up taking on U.S. Heavyweight Champion Dolph Ziggler because Ziggler and Vicky shot their mouths off. Jack Swagger helped screw over the Long Island Knight Z, which led to Jack getting involved again, which instead of hearing that wonderful, annoying Apple pod noise, we got Teddy Long coming out. And I'm looking at the computer going, computer, talk. I mean, come on. You sit in there next to Cole, talk. Instead, Teddy Long comes out after Air Boom comes out and saves Zack Ryder and sets up a six-man tag match. And they told him, all right, cool. Vicky, get somebody. Welcome back, Mason Ryan. Where you been, baby Batista? We found out where he's been. Because
he's been eating the pills, definitely. He looks more jacked than he did before.
And more tan than ever. It's like, God, did you leave any cream in the entire country that you're in, dude? And
also, he had to. Jeremy Borash still has a job.
Yeah, and so yeah, we had a neat little turn of events there. And you had an interesting encounter of CM Punk versus Alberto Del Rio with John Cena sitting at the commentary table. Did either one of you think he fared okay in commentary? Or do you think he didn't do the job?
I don't think it really mattered because he was there for the bit that came next.
I didn't watch. I was watching Monday Night Football.
And of course, it seems to be a thing with every time, you know, the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view is coming, the cell lowers. And what, as I said on Twitter last night, what a great way for Cena and Punk to show that they're men by beating up a ring announcer. And yes, I know he's trained. Everyone knows that Ricardo Rodriguez is trained. But still, what better manly way? I mean, would the crowd have gone ape crazy if he had beat up Justin Roberts or Howard Finkel or someone along those lines? I don't know. Apparently there was an after show match that involved
before you get to the after show match, yep. With that ending, what's the bet we see that spot replayed Sunday night in Hell in a Cell?
You had actually mentioned it, I believe, when we were talking last night.
It seemed like they were practicing a spot to see how it went over with the crowd. Because you had Rodriguez go up for and get the go-to-sleep straight into the FU with Del Rio, well, Punk trying to turn on Cena and Del Rio playing the interference. I reckon we could see that exact same thing as the ending to the Hell in a Cell match. All it would take would be for Del Rio to somehow, by enough time after copping both moves, to get up, throw Punk out of the ring, cover Cena for a quick three count.
I wouldn't call it the ending, I would call it a really good false finish.
Or that.
You never know. As of this moment, this is the pay-per-view count. This is fun to have a four-match preview. Triple Threat, John Cena defends against Alberto Del Rio and CM Punk. That's your Raw Hell in a Cell. SmackDown Hell in a Cell. Mark Henry takes on Randy Orton. Christian will take on Sheamus. And Diva Champion Kelly Kelly will once again defend against Beth Phoenix. Maybe the third time will be the charm in the New Orleans Arena this Sunday. We hopefully may see Zack Ryder defend, get a shot again at Ziggler. Surprisingly, didn't see anything at all from The Miz and Truth, and that is official, the Sin Cara versus Sin Cara. They announced that during the taping tonight. Or is that us speculating? You believe so? Right, well, 50-50. We'll get to see Hunico versus Mystico for all the marbles, masks, jacket, t-shirts, boots, all kinds of swag. Oh, he said this Sunday we'll find out who is supposed to be Sin Cara. Okay. Totally getting it now. Pick me a winner, Mace. Who walks out of here, out of these two cages, the champs? Can you see Henry and Cena getting out of here with the belts, or does Orton, Punk, or Del Rio walk out as champ?
I reckon we could see Henry walk out with the belt. As for the triple threat, the fan in me like really wants to see Punk or Del Rio pull out the screw job win, like the little sneak attack, get the pinfall on Cena. But the logic side of me goes, yeah, it's going to stay with Cena.
I'll give predictions.
As for Sin Cara versus Sin Cara, I think Sin Cara wins.
Scary, isn't it? That's the easiest one. You could walk into a betting parlor and go, I'll take the Spanish guy.
Go, go, Black Sin Cara!
my daughter
Spunky's
plays.
He's not a Pokemon.
Yeah, that was about to say. My daughter plays Pokemon on our DS, and she's got the new one with the black Pokemon. Oh, I was looking at her going like, honey, you're talking a generation two behind me. You can talk to Spug. I'll get you on a headset with Spug and Mace tomorrow night before OTL. Maybe they can talk you through some of the stuff in the game.
Oh no, you don't want us talking Pokemon Black and White. We've spent many months having racist jokes about that game.
Oh god, speaking of racist stuff, did you guys watch the Baby Eater Saturday?
I was busy.
I know that.
I watched the Baby Eater fight.
And the Baby Eater got beaten from what I saw on the net.
Tapped out. Fourth round. Wow. I saw the results. I was at a birthday party on Saturday night.
Well, that's a viable reason there. And I believe he now... Jones moves on to a title shot at Rashad Evans, right? Did I read that right, too?
No. Rashad Evans now fights John Bones Jones. John Bones Jones is the champion.
Oh, okay. I had it mixed up. Sorry. Totally had it mixed up. All right. That leads me to the beginning of our wrap-up. As I mentioned, these two gentlemen plus TJ Omega, the one and only Omega, the be-all, the end-all, the god of Wild Talk Radio, Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock on this very network. And as I just mentioned, you'll get Pokemon stuff. For fans that are new to us that may have joined in tonight because of Lexus or Matt Taven being here, give them a brief synopsis of OTL.
Very, very weird show. We do cover a bit of geek news. Most of the time, it's like we're just sitting around talking crap.
It's like midgets on crack.
Wait, they already made a show of that. Isn't that Hulk Hogan's MCW?
Fair enough.
I'm avoiding that, and you're going to bring that crap up. People are actually watching that.
Alan, no. Avoid that thing like the plague, dude. I've watched two episodes, and nah.
Spug watched it for the hot midget.
Like car crash bad or Jerry Springer bad?
Oh,
it's car crash bad.
It's a 10-car pileup on I-95 where there's at least 6 fatalities bad.
If you have any knowledge of how a promotion is run, how a promoter is supposed to act, and how talent is supposed to act, you watch this thing and go, how the hell did Hulk Hogan get behind this shit?
Right. It's bad.
Is Razor Rick going to be doing another podcast anytime soon?
Stay
for
tuned. Just stay tuned.
Okay, so you can check out Wild Talk Radio for Razor Rick Titan set up there. CB Radio midnight-ish on this very network, with the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks, our friend Subway, and Sir Rockin'. Recap what went down this past week if fans want to go and archive.
We told you how to corrupt an Amish female, extreme musical chairs, and we talked stories about how a Kansas man tried to steal X-ray DVDs and only ended up with the cases, and how if you order paintball supplies on the internet, you might just receive some X-rated porn and oils and pills. Check it out, CB Radio.
Did you talk about the dolphin fucker?
Hey.
I see how I kept that all clean.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no.
Please, like we're going to have a PG rating on this episode after the second interview and me going, fuck you, 2 minutes.
Yeah, we're ready.
We didn't talk anything about anything with dolphins, no.
You didn't talk? Did you see the story about that guy?
No, I did not.
Save it for off air. All right,
but
this Sunday night,
that's
as mentioned, it is Hell in the Cell night, so don't tune in at 10, tune in at 11, Wild Talk Radio Network, so you can hear Spug, Omega, maybe Mace. No, Mace works. Mace works.
No.
Mace, that will be Mace's final show?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The roast of Mace.
As of what is technically for you guys in the United States, Tuesday the 4th of October, I will be working in a data processing center for the Australian government until at least mid-January 2012. So this is my last OWW radio. Tomorrow night is my last OTL. And good. Sunday will be my final WrestleTalk Radio until the new year.
Yes.
And you will be missed. I have no way to even attempt to replace you, so
no,
I'm not even going to.
You won't be missed.
No, because you can't find anybody with a better accent.
You really won't be missed. It's okay.
Yeah, I know. Screw you too, Spug.
Yeah, so as said, Sunday, 11 o'clock, you need to be here, because if you come in at 10, you're not going to have anything. And as mentioned earlier, I'll run it again. Next Tuesday night, be here, 9 o'clock Eastern, former WWE star, WCW star. He's going to be competing for Crossfire Entertainment on November the 5th. Finley will be with us. The cold-hearted player, Danny DeMonto, will also be here. And Brian Shields, the co-author of the WWE Encyclopedia, will educate us once again. October 11th, Al Snow, Tough Enough trainer, TNA road agent. He'll also be involved in Crossfire Entertainment's event. I believe he's actually Finley's opponent at that event, so that'll be interesting to have. Howard Brody and Vita DiNucci from Ring Warriors will be with us. On the 25th, the franchise, Shane Douglas, will be here. November the 1st, the one and only Becky Bayless will be here. Tell your friends, tell their friends, tell everyone that you know. You can follow me, and my name is Wojcik on Twitter. Spug is Kilted Wise Man. You can also, you have to underscore between Kilted and Wise Man to make sure you get that right. Kevin Scott normally is here with us. He is Kevin underscore K underscore Scott. Mace is the Mace Thing. You can follow Sorokin tweets through Wild Talk Radio. So on behalf of everybody here on the show, thanks to Lexus for being here, Matt Taven for being here, Spug, Mace, Sorokin, Tim Stein. Thanks for coming out. We're here each and every Tuesday. There's plenty of radio shows that hate my ass, and they see that listing of talent, and they're really hating me more. So as my friend James Storms likes to say, sorry about your damn luck. Have a good night.